to the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss using the Cattle Comfort Index as a metric and a method to trigger heat abatement strategies. To have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by the co-authors, Dr. Alfredo DeConstanza, who's a Nebraska Extension livestock educator focused on feedlot nutrition and management, as well as Dr. Ruth Wywoody, who's assistant professor and extension specialist focused on animal behavior and well-being. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, in a previous Beef Watch podcast, we talked about the Cattle Comfort Index, the research behind that, and why it's really a valuable tool for folks who are caring for cattle, especially for those who are dealing with cattle in a feed yard situation or a dry lot situation. Today, you talk about the application of the Cattle Comfort Index and how folks can use that information to begin to think about management practices that can benefit cattle. Just maybe give us a quick review of the Cattle Comfort Index, and then let's dive into how it works and how we can use it.
Yes, Aaron, the Cattle Comfort Index was developed by Dr. Terry Mader and collaborators in the 2010 time period. And the idea was to bring together an index or a value that would demonstrate to us in very clear terms how four factors that affect cattle comfort come together and affect cattle's response to their thermal environment. And this could be either cold or hot temperatures. It really doesn't matter. And so what CCI does is it brings together temperature, obviously humidity, which we also know affects all of us. And then it pays close attention to what wind speed and solar radiation do to compound both heat and or temperature and humidity, particularly during hot conditions. So in essence, many states have adopted CCI to provide forecast values for cattle managers to use as guidance as we navigate the hot spells. But I would encourage the listeners to also utilize CCI when things turn around and become cold, because obviously the same four factors we talked about are going to have an impact on cattle comfort.
As we sit here where we're at, as far as the calendar year, we're hitting at the end of July, early August here. So obviously heat and humidity is a major driver of the Cattle Comfort Index, together with wind speed and solar radiation. Those four factors together form this index. Talk about the levels of the index and how we should recognize when cattle are getting to a place where they're really stressed.
Well, the original values, and we'll look at it from the heat standpoint. We will not talk at the moment about cold, but below 77 on the CCI or the Cattle Comfort Index value, one would not need to be concerned with stress level. So when we talk about that 77 value, it already has taken into consideration temperature, humidity, solar radiation, and wind speed. So that would tell us cattle are comfortable. Beyond 77, we would get into various levels of stress. The first next level would be mild, then moderate, then severe, then extreme and extreme danger. We believe, Ruth, you might comment on this, that cattle within the mild to moderate stress level may actually do okay, maybe a slight reduction on intake. Beyond that is where we begin to see, at least initially, intake, depression, and worse symptoms. What would you say, Ruth?
Well, I would agree, especially if we're thinking about the duration of that event. Cattle are well suited to tolerate challenges in the shorter term. So that mild to moderate index, I wouldn't be highly concerned. But as we look forward, look ahead, and we think about how long heat events are lasting, that's when, as we get into moderate and beyond, is when we really need to be concerned.
And I believe that number for any listener that wants to write this down, it would be 95 on the CCI. So anytime you see a 95 or higher, you ought to be worrying about it. The other thing, Ruth, I think that we also need to bring up is the issue of night cooling, which we believe is very helpful in cattle to be able to exchange and release that heat of the day at night to help them live that next day, even at a severe level.
Correct.
Speak to that a little more, because I think that is a critical component. I live in the western part of the state, and we sure get to some high temperatures during the day. We're fortunate we have low humidity and airspeed. That's usually we have wind, but that's really critical, getting these cattle cooled off at night.
Yeah, and I just to sort of reiterate what we discussed in an earlier podcast about the first article, Alfredo did a great job. Cattle generate a lot of heat through the rumination process, and they accumulate essentially heat load. And so the ability to dissipate that through respiration as one of the mechanisms is really important. And respiration is affected by both air temperature as well as humidity. So if we don't experience cooling overnight, if we're staying in those 70s and maybe low 80s, we don't appreciate the full benefits of overnight cooling. So we really don't lose a lot of that heat load that cattle experience.
In the article, you talk about the trade-offs that are part of the Cattle Comfort Index and how different factors either add to or reduce from that stress level. Talk about that a little bit, because I think that really does shape and help us understand what are some maybe also opportunities to mitigate heat stress.
Yes, Aaron, I think for the article, we obviously use some of the CCI values to sort of explore if temperature was such, what will this amount of wind or this amount of humidity do on the CCI value if humidity got worse or if winds got speedier, shall we say. So in the article, we use an 86 degree temperature for our reference value and then modify that from 30% to 70% humidity. So at a low wind speed of 5 miles an hour, the CCI is already stressful enough in that level of severe stress, even at 86 degrees and 30% humidity with a 5 mile an hour wind. If that breeze comes and it reaches 15 miles an hour on that 30% humidity with 86 degrees, boom, we drop back to the moderate range and sort of almost out of danger, if you know what I mean. So when you explore CCI in detail, wind is a tremendous help to counter the effects of heat and humidity. And the trade-off values for that, and I don't expect anybody to memorize them, but just to understand that when you feel that breeze, even if it's 90 degrees outside and it's blowing at 25 miles an hour, you should feel a little comfort that cattle are not so stressed. And that trade-off is for every 2.5 miles of wind speed per hour, we offset 1 degree Fahrenheit of temperature.
So to put that in perspective, if we have a 10 mile an hour wind, if it's 95 out, we've basically dropped that to 91.
Correct.
Talk a little more about humidity, because this is one I know you folks both live on the eastern side of the state. I'm on the western side, and whenever I go to Lincoln, I notice it. It's different there than where it is out here at Kimball. Talk about the impacts of humidity and how that's such a significant driver as well.
Well, Ruth mentioned it, and it saturates the environment, which I'll add one more thing a little later on management, especially using sprinklers, but humidity, in essence, picture like a coat. It's an invisible coat, additional coat on cattle that prevents them from exchanging that heat load with the environment. So the higher the humidity, the more difficult it is to exchange that heat with the environment. And the trade-off on that will be that, you brought up let's just take your example from 95. And we have a 10 mile an hour wind, it drops to 91. But then we bring back 5 percentage units of humidity, for example, on that example, and it offsets about 2.5 miles an hour. So we're right back to about perhaps 92 degrees in that example. So humidity and wind speed are almost always fighting each other. And thankfully, when you have fast winds, generally you have low humidity. When you have still situations like when you visit Lincoln, for example, that humidity just climbs because it just pretty much sits.
So just to give a little more perspective on that, because I think this is, I think, an important piece to understand. If we're thinking about the cattle comfort index and I'm dealing with a day that's 30% humidity or a day that's 80% humidity, that has a drastic impact on the cattle comfort index.
That's a big deal, and that's why I think when you look at what we consider no stress on cattle, that's 77 degrees, which for most humans, if we translated that to degrees, that's pleasant time, of course, straight up to a human, but it's a fairly high value on the scale for cattle to be comfortable, if you know what I mean. And that has to do with mainly with humidity, as you indicated. So, an example, last week I analyzed some data on intake, which I had pretty granular data. At 67 degrees of night temperature, those cattle experience intake reductions of anywhere from 3 to 10%.
So that was a situation where it was cooling off at night, but because it was still quite humid, those cattle were still experiencing heat stress. Is that correct?
Correct. Correct. And generally we would say that 77 is a good number, but I think for night cooling, and Ruth, you have a lot of experience on this, I believe that 70 degrees or 70 CCI at night is something we want to see to feel comfortable that those cattle are exchanging enough heat with the environment.
Yeah, that 68 to 70 is what has historically been characterized as more of their thermoneutral zone and where they're more able to dissipate heat. So if we're experiencing a heat event where we don't drop to those temperatures overnight for days, that adds cumulative stress in addition to the factors experienced during the day.
As folks are thinking about using the Cattle Comfort Index and then looking at opportunities to mitigate the stress that cattle are experiencing from heat events, talk a little more about some of the tools available and how they might use those to provide comfort to cattle.
I think I mentioned earlier that I would visit a little bit about sprinklers, and I guess just looking at these ranges in humidity, for example, if it's already very humid and the wind is not blowing, we have to be careful with sprinklers because unless we're getting some relief from wetting the pen surface, which I know Terry Mater worked on this as well, and wetting the pen surface is one way to help these cattle exchange heat with their environment. But back to the sprinklers, if we're accumulating small drops on the hair coat and there is not enough wind speed and there is high humidity, we may be making things worse. What do you say, Ruth?
Well, I would also say that you're exactly right to that caution with wetting. The use of sprinklers is advised when we're already, say, seeing 50% humidity or greater. One of the things that you'd mentioned, the idea of reducing the actual surface temperature, there is some data that suggests bedding actually accomplishes that as well, simply by altering the color and of the pen surface. So it seems a little counterintuitive, but what it does is typically the substrates that we would use for bedding are lighter in color and don't absorb as much of that thermal radiation. Therefore, the environment itself remains a little bit cooler. So that's one of the considerations.
I would agree with that, Ruth. I think bedding is, in some cases, not considered for a number of factors, but I think it's worthwhile considering spreading bedding and permitting those cattle to also scatter a little bit more. Heat tends to bring them together because they find the sprinklers or the shade to congregate under or by, but then they also increase their body heats by being close together. I believe bedding will help the manager scatter those cattle a little bit further, perhaps take advantage of the high points of the pen. And as you indicated, it reflects radiation, plus it insulates that very hot soil or dirt temperature.
So we've talked about earlier the importance of air movement for cattle. And as we think specifically about cattle towards the end of the finishing period, cattle in the last 60 days prior to harvest, these cattle are carrying 4 or 5 tenths of back fat, in addition to their hair coat and hide. And so dissipating heat for them obviously is even more challenging. Talk a little more about the importance of where cattle are at in the yard relative to air movement and why that's so important for these cattle as they come towards the end of the feeding period as they're getting ready to be harvested.
Yeah, something that we often practice, sometimes stacking hay or something around the perimeter or on the north side of pens to as a windbreak in colder months. And in some instances, we don't think to address that windbreak during the hot months. So being aware of where there may be existing windbreaks on certain sides, maybe the north edge or around the perimeter is really important. If it's possible, if there's the capacity, either moving cattle to pens where there is better airflow, be it simply because there's maybe more elevation, whether that's mounds, or just simply a greater distance from those windbreaks. Those are some examples of strategies that for location within the yard that might influence airspeed.
Anything else on the Cattle Comfort Index and the application of that that you think would be important for folks to think through as they utilize this tool to manage cattle in a feed yard type scenario?
Really, this is a tool that's going to be used by the workforce, by producers and caretakers. And the value of it is that it really can help them be more successful, feel better supported in their everyday work. That increases job satisfaction, and it's also important for retention. I think that's a really critical consideration for an invaluable workforce.
Talk just a little bit about shade also. We've touched on that. And as we were getting ready to record the podcast, we were talking about the cost of shade. And sometimes there's some resistance to spending money on that. But then we were also talking about the value of fat cattle today and looking at the relationship between those two. Shade obviously is a infrastructure that's an expense. It can be inconvenient for those folks who are cleaning pens and maintenance, things like that. But it does have really quite a bit of value as we think about the Cattle Comfort Index and mitigating heat stress.
It does, Aaron. And when Ruth and I modeled these CCI values over a large range of conditions, shade at the level of solar radiation reduction that we purchase commercial cattle shade, which is 70%, it reduced CCI by 4 units, regardless of any of the other conditions. And that is a tremendous value. So, back to your number, 95 would bring it back to 91. And to me, sometimes we do not consider the importance of shade in these systems. And, back to the question, what is an animal worth today from $3,500 to $3,800? So, in essence, two dead animals or poor performance on a whole pen, the equivalent of $8,000, which is easy to do with 250 head in a pen. Many of these shades are priced in that range of, $7,000 to $10,000, depending on who sells it and structure, et cetera, et cetera. But that, as I think you indicated, Aaron, all those shade structures have improved dramatically. They're better able to stand wind. They're easier to store in the winter, et cetera. So it's almost a no-brainer to consider the use of shades in these yards.
Dr. Whitewoody, anything you'd add to that?
Oh, I would just echo everything that Alfredo has said. In the current market conditions, it's hard to rationalize not, providing shade under some of the extreme conditions described in the model that we published.
As we point towards wrapping up on the topic today, anything else you'd like to highlight or have folks think about in terms of using the Cattle Comfort Index as a tool to put in place some heat abatement strategies?
One of the things I would offer, Aaron, is that we experience information overload. So when we use new tools, it's oftentimes we'll be good at using them for a couple of days. And until we've built that habit, some of those tendencies will fall off. So keeping it front of mind, being intentional about using it is going to be really critical to success.
Well, Dr. DeConstanza, Dr. Y-Woody, I really appreciate your time today and for putting together these two articles. Again, I think a very timely in terms of the season of year we're in, the dog days of summer, but a tool that really has application for cattle feeders, not only in the summer, but also in the winter as we think about cold stress. We didn't talk about that today, but there are some things there as well that we can learn from and utilize to benefit cattle care. So again, thanks for your time today and for putting this together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For more information on the article that was discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find it at beef.unl.edu. Again, the title of the article, Using the Cattle Comfort Index to Trigger Heat Abatement Strategies.